Yeah. Agitin Zimmer, today's daf is Bamaziya daf Samach Gimel. Hope you have a nice Pesach. Bamaziya Samach Gimel. We left off. We reached Samach Gimel Amr Alf. We got a couple lines down. Let's pick it up inside. Let's pick it up from after, from Amar Rava. I think we have to Amar Rava Shpami number three Shitlas, but it really requires us to just go back at least outside and speak, oh, what's going on over here. So we're explaining the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah gave a long case of what's Tarbis. When the Mishnah gave a long case, an explanation of Tarbis, of a person who made a deal, borrowed money, he agreed to buy, he bought 25 zuz worth of wheat, and the fellow who was supposed to deliver the wheat, he took the money, got the payment, forward contract for the wheat, but he didn't deliver the wheat yet. When it came time to deliver the wheat, what used to be 25 silver dinarim worth of wheat, let's call it a sa, was now worth 30 silver dinarim. It went up by 5 silver dinarim. So when it came time to, he said, wheat's gone up, I want my wheat, I want to sell it to buy wine, wine's cheap now. So the fellow says, I owe you taka now, 30 silver dinarim, and I'll give you wine of 30 silver dinarim. And he doesn't have the wine, and he says, I'll just owe you 30 silver dinarim of wine. And then he owes him now the 30 silver dinarim worth of wine. And in case wine goes up, that becomes problematic. That's an issue of ribbis. That was the Mishnah's case. And the question was, why do I have to have a double layer? If it's okay to do it, then it's okay to do it. If it's Yeshla, if he has the product, then it'll be fine to do it. If the Mishnah was a case where he didn't have the product, then it wasn't fine to do it. Why are we adding multiple layers into the case the Mishnah was going on about? That was the question the Gemara was dealing with. So the Gemara wanted to give an Eitzah that the case was, Rava had a bunch of issues. Abaya wanted to give, then we're going through different answers. Rava first gave an answer, Abaya had a problem with Rava's answer. So then Abaya's answer was that we're going like Rav Safra, and we were talking about a case. The issue over here was the issue of Haramas Ribbis. It was Haramas Ribbis. What was happening was the fellow was immediately, after the guy says, I need 25 dinarim. And the fellow said, the lender, so to speak, said, I don't have 25. I can give you wheat worth 25. He would deliver the wheat right away, worth 25. And then the guy who needed the money would then sell it back to the lender for 24. So the lender effectively was owed 25 by this buyer. And he sold it back for 24. So the lender basically was lending 24 in cash, and he was going to receive 25. Technically, it's mutter because there was a sale happening. There was a sale. The lender first sold wheat worth 25, and then he bought back the same wheat at 24. So really, it's two sales, and it should be fine. But it's clearly a Ramas Ribbis, because what ultimately comes out of this is that the seller is really a lender who's lending 24 ziz and charging 25. It's an issue of Haramas Ribbis. Rav had an issue that the Lush of the Mishnah, Rav had a couple of issues. Tein Lichiti doesn't make sense. It should be Demei Chiti. And the Umar had to keep tweaking the mission and says, yeah, Tani, Demei Chitim. Shani Meichel, what does it mean that you're selling that I'm selling you? It wasn't sold. Shani Meichel means that I want to go sell. It already was sold. That doesn't make sense either. We switched to Girsa. We said Tani, not switched to Girsa, we switched to Taich. Tani Shemachartim Lach. So Abayu answered the Mishnah means Shemachartim Lach. But the Rava keeps having issues with Lashanit the Mishnah. Chitech Hasius Lach Bishleisha Dinrim. It was the Lush of the Mishnah was that it's going to be, it now became worth 30 dinarim, and the issue of the Mishnah, or the issue of going to buy in the Mishnah is, there was a Ramas Ribbis from initial. So ultimately, Rava kept asking questions on the case, and therefore Rava said, Nupshah, that's what we left off with. Rava said, Nupshah, he said, when Rav Eishiv when I die, Rava says, Rav Eishiv will come to greet me, because I'm going to explain our Mishnah like Rav Eishiv. That was, again, speaking out a bunch outside. This is the last part that we read on last time right before Yantav. You know, let's actually read this Gemara inside. Hello, Rava. Let's pick up from the last line of Samach Beis and Beis. Last line, just might as well read this one inside. Hello, Rava. Kishachim Nerveisha Nafak Vasi. When I will die, Rav will come and greet me. Why is that? Top of Samach Yim and Aleph. Tebetaritzim Masisa Kavasi. I interpret the Mishnayas, this Mishnah in particular, I'm interpreting this Mishnah and the according to his brisa. It sounds like Rav used to defend Rav Eishiv's brises and plug them into Mishnayos. The Sefer Chassidim brings this concept that if one defends a specific, Tanayim, or the like, if one goes and defends a specific Pirish, he gets a special schus that when he's Nifter, that Pirish, that Shita, that Tana, that even that the Magen Shlomo famously wrote this about Rashi, that he defended Magen Shlomo, the name of the Sefer. He defended Rav Shlomo Yitzchak, he defended Rashi. Ramban defended the Rif from the Tanit Balmar, and the like, that those giants will come and help them, so to speak, when they come to the next world. Those giants will come and defend them. Okay. It says the Gemara, the Tanya by Yeshaya. Rabbi Yeshaya told Rabbi as follows. Harishai, Yonash b'chavir, a man of a person was owed a mana from his friend. A mana, by the way, we've spoken out, a mana is also 25 dinrim. 25 silver dinrim, each dinrim is 4 zuz. A mana is 100 zuz, it's 25 silver dinrim. So Harishai, Yonash b'chavir, a mana, halach b'amal al-gwein, and he goes to the creditor, went to the debtor's threshing floor, and he says, Yomi money, v'amar, teni ma'is sheni b'ritzi l'kach b'mchitim, pay me the money, I want to go buy wheat. V'amalai, so the borrower says, you're in luck. I have wheat. I have wheat. I'm at my threshold. I have wheat that I can give you in exchange for the money I owe you. I'll give you an amount of wheat that equates to the debt. Whatever the shahr right now, the current price of wheat is, I owe you that much wheat corresponding to 100, the mana of debt. He gives machit limka, then he had time to sell the wheat. So meaning, and they agreed. The lender agreed to buy wheat instead of the debt that he was owed. He gives machit limkar, and then it came time to sell the wheat. The wheat became whatever value. It's a good time to sell the wheat now. Amalei tein lichitim. So the lender, the creditor, says, "Give me my wheat." I want to sell the wheat and use the proceeds of the wheat. Now that it's high, I want to buy wine because wine apparently was cheap at that time. Amalei. So the debtor says, "Yesh di ayin neizlach. I have wine that I'll give you instead." Very similar to the wording of our Mishnah. I know I want to give you this place. Save us like shashachsha. Let's go. Let's convert whatever the money is owed now. It's more than 100 zuz because the wheat went up. The amount of wheat that you converted the debt earlier for, that value of that wheat went up. So that same amount of wheat is worth more now. And let's convert that into owing wine. And he says, no problem. And we continue this process. He gives my yadim. Came time to sell the wine. There was a Rashi explains. Meaning we keep saying came time to sell means there was a short of supply of that commodity in the market, so therefore the value went up. So he came down to sell the wine. And the creditor said, give me my wine, because I want to use it to sell the wine. And now buy oil. Apparently oil had oil was at a good price now. Oil that I'll give you in its place. Convert the wine that I owe you, whatever value, whatever amount of wine was worth, the value of the wheat at the time of the conversion, convert that amount of wine. This wine went up in value now as well. Convert that amount of wine into oil at oil's current price, and I owe you that. Kulam, im yesh le mutter. Here's the biggest side. Im yesh le mutter. If the debtor in all these cases possessed the wheat, like remember, it's used by the threshing floor. If he possessed the wheat, then he simply didn't deliver it at the time, but he possessed it. He possessed the wine. He possessed the oil. If he possessed all those items, then it is permissible. It is a good, the deal's okay. Ein loy, if he doesn't possess it, then it's going to be usur. Right, as long as he had it, then it's mutter. Because since he had it, we point out the past. It's almost like the sub. It's the idea. As long as yesha, as long as the debtor has it, it's as if he designated that amount of that 100 manas worth of wheat in the first place, and the wheat that went up was belonging to the creditor. And now when he's converting it again, it's a new conversion. But there's no. It wasn't. It doesn't just. It takes away the element of, so to speak, lending 100 and getting back 105, and so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, Umay lakach. And Rava says, when the Mishnah, our Mishnah says, Lakach, you have to say, Lakach means he bought it with that which was owed to him. So essentially, Rava is explaining our Mishnah is exactly like a Peshaya. As long as the creditor has these items, it's fine. And if he doesn't have the items, then it's not fine. That's exactly our Mishnah's din. Amar, Rava. So Rava says, Shmam na Beishit Las. We learn from Beishit three things. Shmam inam, to meet the Mavag of Paris. Number one, we learn that you can convert the loan into Paris, into a certain measure of Paris, and that works. And we don't say like we had in Adav Samach Beis that issue that it's a Isur Be'yadei. It's the Isur came, the money came to his hand later, and it's a large amount of money, and that's problematic. So we say as long as you convert the loan into Paris, it works. However, the number two is Shbamina Hudiyeshla. It works only if the Paris are in his possession. If he has Paris right now, that he can do the conversion. Meaning, even if he doesn't actually deliver the Paris right now, he converted the what's owing into owing Paris. That's fine as long as Paris are in existence. And lastly, Shvamina Isal Rabbanai to Amar Rabbanai. Rabbanai says Mali Hein Mali Demayim. We hold like Rabbanai who says that at the end he could say What's the difference if I give you the goods themselves or if I give you the money, which is a chiddush? It's a chiddush there, because I would say that when once you give me back money instead, so that we know the original loan was 100, you give me back at the end, and this, let's assume each time it went up by 5% over here, the wheat to the wine to the oil, so you're giving me 115 by the time you give back money, maybe that'd be problematic. We say, Gerbane, that since there is an item corresponding value that I could have given him Paris, so who cares if I give the Paris or if I give the money as a substitute, doesn't matter. As long as I'm allowed to give the value, then it's not a problem. The site of Rabbani really is that as long as it's Yatsa Ashar, as long as at the time that you convert the debt into payers, there's a fixed value for that payers in the market, there's a fixed amount. So you got a certain amount of payers corresponding to that value. If that amount of payers goes up in value, you can still give money. You don't have to give payers and give money. You don't have to give them payers and say, you go now sell the payers and realize your increase in value. You can give money and it still doesn't look like ribbis because there was a clear Ashar. Itmar. Rav Omar, Oysen Amar Paris. Rav says you can make arrangement of trust with essentially that's a forward payment, it's psika on Paris. I can pay you up front now for the delivery of Paris later. You can do that on Paris, but you can't make that same arrangement if the deal is to only pay back money. That resembles too much ribbis if the deal is to pay back money. Rav Yana Amar, Malihein Malik Deman. Rav Yana says, what's the difference if you give back money or give back the goods? As long as you tie the value to the goods, and the goods exist, and there's a shahr, then even if later you actually just give back the monetary value of those goods, you don't even give back the goods itself, still not a problem, because it was tied to the value of these goods, and there was a shahr, there's a market price for these goods. Meisir, this kashem Rav, kulam yeshna mutter, according to Rav, how does he deal with the klal that we said in the Brisa, we just quoted from Ishaya, in the Brisa, as long as yeshla, if the debtor has the produce, then it's permissible. It seems like it's permissible to be substituting all these different payers. It's not a problem as long as it's Yeshlai. I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav, Bisham Masha. Rav will have to learn the Brisa so that he did Mashicha. It wasn't just that the creditor was converting his right of 100 mana into wheat and then wheat into wine in concept. It was Bepayel. He did a Mashicha on the wheat, he did a Mashicha on the wine. The Gemara's Kash is obvious. If he actually did Mashicha, he owned it. What's the Chiddush? Ask the Gemara, Ibish Masha, Mashicha, Meimar. If he did actual Mashicha, what's the Chiddush Bechlal? That's kind of in between. He didn't do a proper mashicha. The creditor set aside, the debtor, sorry, the guy who owed the money, when the creditor said, convert, I want my money back. And the debtor said, I'll give you that amount of wheat. And then eventually came time to sell the wheat. He said, I want my wheat. I'll give it to you in the current value of that wheat. I'll give it to you in wine. In all those cases, the wheat, the wine, the debtor was designating a makam by himself. Remember, we said we're talking about case of Yeshlai. He obviously had to have these items. He also designated a Karen Zavis, a corner, where he said this corner kind of belongs to the Malva, the creditor, and the item in this spot belongs to Malva. So he didn't do a proper Kinyan, but it was a proper designation over there. Even Rav would agree, since there's a proper designation for the produce and the goods was set aside for him, it's viewed as it belongs to the creditor, and in that case, it still works as well. But if the creditor, that's Tamazai, if the creditor didn't get that much of it, didn't take possession, nor did he have it set aside for him, the fact that you just keep converting it, it's really just money, according to Rav, even if it's Yeshua, that wouldn't be enough, because it still looks too much like Rubis. Which Shmuel Amar.
And if he gave him a price to put it.
Yeah. Okay. If you're asking that for a Kenyan, you need to have a Mashicha that we had earlier in the prior Prakim, we had that in Azav, you need to have a proper Kenyan with Mashicha. Otherwise, there's a concern, even if you're Midiraisa, Kesav Skaina, but you have a concern of Shem Yemen Nisvichetech Baliyah. So first of all, over here, it doesn't mean over here that the guy is claiming Shem Nisvichetech Baliyah. If your question is that Lemais is still not a Kenyan, so I think the answer is Enechami. That's still part of the point over here. The issue over here is that it looks like Ribbis. The issue isn't that it's Mamash Ribbis. The issue is that it looks like Ribbis. So as long as there's some sort of designation that makes it more resemble the sale, makes it more clear that it's a sale, that it's a loan, then it takes away the issue of ribbis. But in terms of regular kinyanim, l'chayr enechanami, l'chayr, it wouldn't take away the issue, it wouldn't be 100% a proper kinyan, and it wouldn't solve for the issue of nisr fuchitecha ba'aliyah. L'chayr, I think the other way also, I don't know, just because of miyachli karen zavis, if you can claim nisr fuchitecha ba'aliyah, if chalila, there was to be a fire. So again, I don't think we're addressing that concern, we're just addressing the concern that we're taking away from the appearance of a loan and making it more clear that it's a transaction, a sale, and therefore ribbis won't be an issue here. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel, let's go further. Shmuel Amar. Hamani. Who is the author of the Braisa Rabbi Yehudi. The author of this Braisa is Rabbi. Shmuel's coming to defend Rav. We had an issue from Rav from the Braisa of Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Shaya's Braisa seems to say that as long as Yeshlai, you can do all these transactions, and Rav held not. Rav held, it doesn't work. So the first answer we gave for Rav was, but Rav agrees it works by Yichla Karen Zavis. If you do that much, if the debtor set aside a Karen Zavis for the produce, that's when it works. It's more than Yeshlai, he set aside a proper corner. Shmuel says, I'll give you an answer. The author of Rabbi Shaya's Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, Damar, Zarecha Ribbis Mutter, who says that Ribbis that's only on one side. If you have a transaction, that only on one side there's ribbis. On the other side, it's not ribbis. It's not a guaranteed ribbis. It's only a one possibility. So in such a case, that's mutter. That is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. When I'm saying that Rav subscribes to the Shita, Rabbi Shmuel is just saying Rabbi Shaya subscribes to the Shita. And therefore, if you hold Tzadik Rabbis mutter, that's why Rabbi Shaya's case is mutter. The Gemara is just going to elaborate on Rabbi Yehuda Shita first. The Tanya, we learned that the Baisa, Rabbi Shaya Neish Mechavir, a person who owed a money to his friend, Vasilais Deah Macher, and the debtor gave his field kind of as a sale to the one he owed the money to. Essentially, he said, "You take my field; it's really collateral for now. And if I don't pay you, you'll keep the field. As long as I pay, I get back the field." Question is, who eats the payers in the interim? Says the price of mutter. If the meicher, the seller, which is the borrower, so to speak, if the seller continues to eat the payers, there's no problem. The lender only has the field as a protection that he won't ultimately lose all his money, and therefore, it's a permissible transaction because the lender is not gaining anything except for the mashkin. However, lekech ha'peiros, if lekech the buyer, so to speak, the lender is getting the field. Now, if he eats the peiros in the interim, he's eating the peiros, and then he still has the collateral, and he'll get paid back the money for the field. He'll get paid back, so he gets paid back the loan plus the peiros. He's getting paid back the loan plus the peiros. That's a problem. Lekech ha'peiros is usher. Rabbi Yehuda Brita says, "Afasvach lekech ha'peiros mutter." Even in the case where the kech eats the peiros, it's mutter. Why is the malva able to eat the peiros? Amen Buddha. So Rabbi Yehuda said to the Chacham who argued, "Maispeis bezunin." There's a story by Zmezunah, she'asas deal mecher. He made the field like a sale, as a collateral, as a sale. And afish alpi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, based on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's psak, lekech ha'peiros and lekech was eating the peiros. Again, lekech is the malva, right? If Reuven, let's give some names. Reuven is owed $100. Reuven is a malva. He's owed $100 by Shimon. Reuven then takes Shimon's field, and in exchange for the debt for now. So that makes Reuven like a buyer of the field. So it was saying, if Reuven eats the peiros, that should resemble ribbis. So he brought a raya, Rabbi Yehuda said, it's okay. It's okay for that for him to eat the peiros. It's only tzadech of ribbis. The Mara's going to explain. And he brought a raya from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who said that the lekech could eat the peiros. Amar lecham said, b'sham raya, that's your raya. You have the wrong story there. It was the meicher eating the peiros. The meicher, namely Shimon, the borrower, was still eating the peiros. The peiros were not being eaten by the seller, by the buyer, by the malva. Rather, it was being eaten by the leiva still. So you have no right from your story. But what's the machleikus? Mer explains by benayo. I'm rabbi. Tzarecha brubas like benayo. The machleikus, Rabbi Yehuda, the chum is when you have tzarecha brubas. That is the machlekes. What does it mean over here? Tzarecha ribbis. There was never a clear upmach that there's ribbis being paid to Reuven. The deal was that essentially what the borrower said, Shimon, that's Reuven is, take the field, and if I don't pay you back by a certain amount of time, then you get to keep the field and the payers that you ate in the interim. If I pay you back by that amount of time, then give me back the payers and give me back the field. I give everything back. So essentially, the ribbis was contingent. It was contingent on Shimon not meeting the deadline, right? If you make the deadline, there's no ribbis at all. If you don't make the deadline, then there's ribbis. That's tzadech ribbis, only ribbis on one side, which is according to Buddha, we're saying, since it's only ribbis on one side, it's not problematic. Chum say, no, it's still a problem. Even the chum, it's not a problem at the raisa level. It's not ribbis ketutza, but it's a problem on a rabbinic level. Ribbis adults, it's not even a problem on a rabbinic level. And therefore, so going back to our explanation, before we say another, Rava's meaning another Pshalim Achlikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum and the Spraisa. But before we go back to that, before we go to Rava, we have a defense now for Shmuel is defending for Rav that the Pshalim of Ishai is. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Tzadech of Rib is not a problem. Since there wasn't guaranteed that the rate was going to go up of the wheat, of the wine, of the oil, and it wasn't guaranteed that there was going to be a benefit there, it's at best Tzadech of Rib. Tzadech of Rib is mutter. That's what Rashi said, it's okay. But Rav doesn't have to subscribe to that opinion. Rav called the Chumim, that's Shmuel's defense for Rav. Rav now brings another explanation in the Machlis of Yehuda and the Chumim. Rav Amar, Ribis amanas the Hachzik of Benayim. No. it's ribbis conditional on returning it. Meaning, in the interim, it's ribbis. Really, the creditor is going to get back his money for this field, right? He's going to get back the money. The borrower, Shimon in our case, is going to want to pay Reuven back his money and get back his field. And when he pays him back, l'chayra, the payers will come back as well. The issue over here is that taking ribbis kind of temporarily, taking ribbis in the interim, is that okay or not? That's the shayla. Is that okay if you're going to take ribbis and then give it back when the kind of sale is canceled and you give back the field and you give back the payers with it? Is that okay to kind of take it and pay it back or not? Rebbe says it's fine, and the Chacham says it's not fine. That's the machlokes there. But according to Rava, everyone agrees to keep it fully. With the chayr would be problematic. Meaning, no one's going to agree that sarech ribbis is mamash mutter. For the lender to ultimately end up with more is avada going to be answer, even though it's only on one side. The chiddush was, could he have it temporarily? And even that, the Chacham say no, and Rebbe says yes. That's how Rava learns. Amar Rava. Hashnam Rabbi Yanai. Now that Rabbi Yanai has said, legabe a psika we said was a contract that you entered to buy payers going forward. You lock in the price today, you can lock in a price for, what we'll call it, the price for a certain amount of whatever the payers is today, and even when the payers goes up later, you can take delivery today, take delivery of the payers later at a higher value, and then you can even exchange that value into other payers. That was the idea we had before, as long as it was yeshna, as long as there's a shar. Either or, now everybody says that, mali hei mali demayim, arminan, we say, mali hei, what's the difference if you deliver the goods? Or you can actually give back the money at the end of that transaction. Instead of delivering the goods, you just deliver the higher money, so you paid a mana for wheat today. You didn't take delivery of the wheat, and the wheat went up in value, and we came time to take delivery of the wheat. The guy says, I'll just give you the money. You gave a mana, and you get back a mana, and plus another 5% or 10%. That's fine, mali hei mali demayim. So says Rav, it goes two ways. Mali demayim, mali hei nam arminan. We go the other way as well. Therefore, for Rabbi, we learn that you can be placed, you can enter these forward contracts based on the market price, whatever the existing market price is. Here's the connection that we pointed out the other day. According to Rabbi, we're allowing for even if the seller himself does not possess the wheat at that time, but the market exists at that time. There's a clear market price at that time for this product. You're able to rely on that market price. And if the product goes up, he never took possession of it, he still gets to take the higher amount of money. Ace very popular Rava Klum Kulam Miesha Mutter Emily Usar. We said in Rabbi Yeshua's Bryce itself said only if it's Yeshlay, only if the fellow possesses the item, if he doesn't possess the item, then you can't give him the higher value later on if he doesn't possess the item. Answer the Gemara Amalu, Hasamhava, Hachazvini, depends. Rabbi answers that over there was a halva. When there's a halva, there was money already owing. I mean, there's no money. It's essentially, you said, we've spoken out earlier in the parak already, that if there's no money transacting right now, you're just converting a loan into other produce, then taka has to be a case of yeshlei. The borrower has to possess it. Otherwise, again, it's getting much too close to ribbis. There's no money being transacted, and you're just getting better value for the money that's owed. That's almost another form of ribbis. Again, it's not ribbis deraisa, but it certainly gets to a rabbinic ribbis drabbanon. But if the fellow is doing a forward contract and he's delivering the money right now, so the one who receives the money, he can go, as long as there's a shahr in the market, there's a fixed price in the market, he can go and use that money and just get that produce right now, even if he didn't actually go and get it. We view it as if it's yeshlai. It's called yeshlai. Mali yeshlai that he has in his pocket, he has in his storage house this amount of wheat. Or mali that he can go to the market and just exchange that money to buy it. He didn't exchange the money to buy it. He wanted to use the money for other purposes. But he could have. We view it as if it's yeshlai. Once it's yeshlai, you don't have the problem of ribbis. Rabbah Rabbeisiv Damar Tavayu. The Gemara now says that Rabbi Reis will say, what's the reason why, this is kind of what we just spoke out, what's the reason why we say you can go into a forward contract and rely on what's in the shuk, what exists in the shuk for that price, even though he doesn't have the goods right now, because the seller can say, because the buyer, who's really the lender over here, he lent the money, so to speak, he paid the money up front, he can say to the fellow who's selling him the wheat, or the whatever the product is, I don't need your favor. If I had the cash on hand, I could have bought it myself from someone else. Honestly, you didn't do anything good for me. You have us. I'm not getting enough from you. I'm not getting any benefits from you. If I had the money in my hand, I would have bought it in Hini Vishili. Hini Vishili is always an example of like the neighboring cities. I could have gone to Hili and Shili and bought it for cheap at the time where I was buying it from you. I could have bought it from that over there for cheap. I could have bought it at this price somewhere else. And therefore, the fact that you deliver me a more valuable product today, or even the money in exchange for more money than exchange for what I gave you, I could have bought the product myself, and therefore, I'm not benefiting from you. In fact, Gemara, Amalei Abayla Rabbeisef Elamata Mutalu Besabasa. So you were coming awfully close to the case of lending sabasa. Lending sabasa, he says, problematic. If I lend you a sa today and you pay me back exactly a sa in 3 months from now, there's a problem there because if a sa today is worth 100. And in 3 months from now, it's worth 105, 110. You gave me back extra. Look at Dribus. What do you mean? We know the halach is sabas azasa. But why didn't he say, it should be mutter, because the guy could say, take your favor and throw it onto the thorns. I had my wheat already. His question really is, the wheat that I had, would it have spoiled? I had the wheat. I lent it to you. If I would have just kept it in my storehouse, I would have gained that benefit anyway. So what favor are you doing me by returning to me wheat at a higher market price 3 months from now? Not too many favor. And when I have such a svara, we just said it's mutter by psika. When I pay the money up front for a forward contract, we said that makes it mutter. If there's a shahr and I don't really gain from you directly, and then it's mutter. So why by sabasa? Is there any problem? According to your logic, sabasa should be mutter. Big aside, amar lay, evasive answer, abaye, hasamava chazvini. Kind of something we touched on earlier. That when enechami, it's two very similar transactions, but in one case it's a clear halva. I'm lending you a sa, and I'm being paid back a sa, and the sa I'm getting back is worth more than the sa I gave you. Even though it's the same sa, the sa went up, and therefore it's not a ribbis deraisa. But midrash abundant has the appearance of ribbis. It's a loan, and I'm getting back more, therefore it's ribbis. By a psika, I'm not lending you anything. I'm giving you money now for a forward contract to buy produce later. Yes, it effectively is like a loan because I'm giving you the money and I'm only taking delivery later, so it looks like it resembles a loan, but it's not really a loan, it's a purchase. So when it's a purchase and I can say I'm not really benefiting from you, not a problem. But when it's a loan, even if I'm not benefiting from you, I'm not benefiting from you with a loan either, but when it's a loan, the loan itself, I gave you X, I'm getting back a higher value, it's the same X actually, I gave you some, I'm getting back the sum, but it's worth more money, it's still going to be a problem because over there, it's a halva. That's the chiluk. I'm going to live Ad Rabba, the Rava. So Rabbi says to Rava, this is just a technical question, that when you want to buy produce, usually you have to give back a broker. There's like a broker between. They have to go pay. So when we say that when a guy buys a forward contract and then it goes on value, he saved the broker's fee. Amar lei, the kiyav leinami, and the he has to pay that broker's fee. Rabashi amar, zuzi inish inu avdei safsire. The person's money that he's... That he has handy, which he's using. It's interesting. This would sound like pretty close to the idea of ribbis on money. But the fact that the money was available, A person who comes with money, a person who comes with money to do deals. When someone walks around with money, he always finds people that are able to. Okay, sorry about that. So again, so the Rav Ashi answers that the zuzidinchi inu avdile safsire. Like Liza was saying, that the brokers are not needed for someone who has money. Someone who has cash on hand, he finds the buyers, the sellers, I should say, directly. This guy, of course, is doing a forward contract. He has money, and therefore he's not dependent on the brokers. Let's go 2 more minutes. I know you have to stop for Shacharis. Rabbi Basif, Tamar Tavayo, Rabbi Basif Boof said, Haimad Yav Zuzi Atara Kharifa. Someone who gave money. And the tarach harifa means kharif means sharp, but also means like early, like the sharp, the early, the produce that comes that's ready early in the season. So this guy, he gave money for produce at the early price. Tarach las chazure lebedari. He has to actually be there. He has to be there to kind of confirm that he's buying the product and confirm the sale. The Gemara explains what's going on over here. Meaning, if you're doing a psika, we're saying psika is okay, but if you do it on the tarach harifa, you actually have to be there. The Gemara is going to explain why. Lamai ilamikna. If it's to make a kinyan, holy kani, just being there alone is not a kinyan. Either kabbalah mishapara, elamai is to be mekabel mishapara, meaning to make the sale more of a binding sale. That to the extent that if he backs out, he says, "Oh, I gave you money, but I don't want to take your produce. I don't want to take delivery later. I'm backing out." So, which is the idea of a mishapara. Kalem is chazami mekabel mishapara. Even if it doesn't appear by the threshing floor, that also grants him. Unfortunately, he gets a mishapara. He gave him money. He made a deal. Now he's backing out of the deal. There's a mishapara for that. So what's the point of showing up at the at the threshing floor. Answers the Gemara. It's taka to get a mishapura. The Gemara explains. Because the derech was a person would give money to a few people early on in the process when the intent was that he give it to 2-3 sellers, and whichever one he's going to pick later, whichever one has the best produce, whichever one maybe delivers it faster or better, that's the one he's going to go with. So imis chazile, if the buyer appears by the threshing floor, so he actually goes to inspect the produce. Then it becomes some chadaite. The seller now realizes that this guy's serious. I have a real deal. I have a real agreement in place. We're more than just the guy is buying an option. He's putting down money for an option to take possession later, but he may back out. It's more than that. He's came to inspect the produce. So then there's the din of the smichas das, and then therefore there's a proper mishapura. The loy, but if the buyer doesn't even show up to inspect the produce, amar lei, the seller could also retract. I mean, because the seller could say, I don't want to be left holding an empty bag. Yeah, I know you gave me money. I know you gave me a kind of a deposit. But you gave a deposit to 3 other people just like me. And I know you're not going to take possession of all of them. So you're only going to take it from some of us. I can't wait to be left out. And therefore, the seller doesn't confirm the sale either. And therefore, it wouldn't be a mishapura. Amar Ravashi says the psak of the draft further. Hashtag Mishmathaite. Now they say the reason why the buyer has to be there at the threshing floor is because otherwise, no smichas das. Afilu Ashre Beshukav Amarle. If he meets him in the market and he says to him, I'm committed to buying the produce, samchadaite. Meaning, the point is, if there's some other element where the buyer makes a strong commitment to say that he's buying the produce, that's going to be enough, and there will be mishapara. It's just the mere sending of the money, which was normal for the buyers due to a couple sellers, and they wouldn't go through with the sale, that wouldn't warrant a mishapara. But if he does something, either through showing up at the threshing floor, or meeting in the market and assuring him that he's fully committed to buying it, then avada the regular dinim, a mishapara applies. We'll pick it up from Avraham Nachman tomorrow. Mitzvah. Have a wonderful day. Good and Isur Chag.